Welcome back. Second hour of the Sunday show, the Alex Jones Show, AJN Live. Need you to repost, share live links, live feeds. People need to know what you know. Got Green Beret, intelligence expert, all around man's man, survivalist guy, Matt Murphy on with me right now, talking about the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, fifth level of thinking, consequence of what's happening in this war right now. We've got a massive escalation that Israel says they're going to do. They say they're going to do it by themselves and that they don't need our help, which of course is ridiculous on its face, because what do they use to fight Iran? Our weapons that we make and sell them for free, essentially. So we've got Iran coming out demanding $300 billion, 7% transit fees, no more insults. That's also included in the rundown. Matt, what are the consequences of this for not just America, the entire world, and what's the timeline that you see developing?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that it's very hard to tell is how quickly Israel will, you know, do this strike, this, you know, is basically start the war over again.
But it is coming, in your opinion, really quick. It is coming, in your opinion.
Yes. Well, because, you know, there's a couple dynamics here, right? The main dynamic is Israel was created to manifest destiny for Zionist Jewish prophecy, right? The founder of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, has multiple quotes out there. And I know I've talked about a couple on the show from Look Magazine about the purpose of Israel. You know, Netanyahu speaks on this a lot about the prophetic goals of Israel. So they believe that they are God's chosen people. They don't say what God, right? Just God, God's chosen people, and that they have to reclaim the promised lands. They believe they have to create this Pax Judaica, greater Israel. They believe they should be the world superpower. They believe they should be in charge of the world. This is in their religious books. This is in their prophecy. And Netanyahu talks about it all the time now. So, you know, the biggest issue for me is that Israel has an agenda. It is a religious agenda, and they will not stop. Netanyahu will not stop. The people that are actually in charge of Israel above Netanyahu, like the Rothschilds and, you know, name all the other families, they will not stop because their agenda is Agenda 2030. It's globalization, yes. New world order, you know, Zionist Jewish Messiah. That's their goal. So again, nothing's stopping them. And, you know, when we invaded Iraq in 2001, that was to unseat Saddam, and that was to destroy all of the military equipment in Iraq, you know, that could be utilized against Israel. Same thing with Syria. The second Assad fell is what Israel do. They went in there and U.S. military and bombed every piece of, you know, Syrian military equipment that could be utilized against them. So they have created, and again, we talked about how as part of training and building and, you know, an entity that became ISIS, or maybe created ISIS, depending on how you look at it, ISIS was to destabilize that region so that then Zionist organizations like Hayas and Soros and all these other people could then ship all these Muslims out of the lands that, you know, Israel needs to reclaim. And they filled Europe and they filled America up with them. So, you know, they are far into the game, right? They have, this has been going on for a very long time. This is prophecy. This is a generational play. And we're in the last, like, you know, we're on the 5-yard line. We're in the red zone, man. And, you know, Israel cannot quit now. Netanyahu cannot quit now. So again, yeah, you know, they're going to attack. But outside of the prophetic thing and outside of Israel's actions, there's a lot of other factors that are happening, you know, in the world right now that could send this into World War III very quickly. You know, you have Turkey coming up with a new, you
that,
know,
that is
military
key.
Alliance.
The
right
new
now.
NATO is absolutely key. Mm-hmm. I want to get into all that. The agreement, of course, between mm-hmm. Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan, the new NATO in the Middle East. We're going mm-hmm. into a break. That was a bit of a shorter segment. Really do appreciate everyone watching us. Please repost, share this. People need to know what you know today. Rex Jones, Matt Murphy, we'll see you after this break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy. 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Folks, The Alex Jones Show does not survive without your support. Unlike all these big mainstream media and big alternative media places that you see, we are completely 100% funded and supported by you, the viewer, the listener at home, wherever you are across the world. I want you to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We got a ton of phenomenal deals for you. We got the free water cooler. You spend $100, you get a free water cooler. We got new Shilajit tincture. If you text ENERGY to 342581, text ENERGY to 342581. That's 342-581. You buy one bottle of Shilajit tincture, you get your second bottle 50% off. That's great savings. And then every entry or every time you buy it enters you to win the crossover vehicle giveaway. There's a 2026 Ram Laramie 2500, a 2026 Ford Super Duty F-250, plus $20,000 in cash. You want to enter to win that right now. It's an amazing deal. You don't want to miss out on that. Also, 50% off CMOS capsules, creatine powder, turmeric gummy, Warcry smelling salt, super amazing, superfood green gummies, 40% off colostrum, Shilajit capsules, ultimate chill, MK Ultra, turmeric tincture, so much more. That's the mega summer markdown. And I always want to plug the two products that I created. That's Power Plant and Methyl Drive. They're available for you in something called the Power Drive Bundle. Okay, this is included with Methylene Blue. This is the ultimate mitochondrial health stack. Got CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Cordyceps Mushroom, Zinc, Boron, Selenium, Vitamin D3, Magnesium. Everything you need and more is in that bundle, meant to say Vitamin B12. But go ahead, engage in the mega summer markdown. We are unlike everybody else. Everybody else does a show so they can sell a product. We sell a product so that we can do a show. Go to the Alex Jones store right now. Check out Ultimate Methyl Drive and Power Plant. But I want to continue the conversation that's funded by you, the viewers and listeners, people in the audience that allow us to have a studio, have a crew, have this operation. It really is all dependent on you. I want to go back to Matt Murphy and what you were talking about, what you were getting into is not just the consequences for us, America, Israel, Iran, but really the entire world and what's shaping up in that Middle East region, West Asia region, whatever you want to call it. Matt Murphy, what do you think of this new NATO?
Well, I think this new NATO is a sign. It's pretty much a sign that America has lost its power, its stance, and most importantly, people's trust in our leadership, because it cannot be any more clear, in my opinion, that America's leadership is completely compromised and controlled by Israel, right? And that is a threat to the world, because the world knows Israel, again, is working on religion, Zionist prophecy, and they have an agenda. And their agenda is not peace. Their agenda is not, you know, equality. It's not setting up trade deals. Their agenda is taking things over, globalization and control, and then for the Jewish people to be the elite race ruling the world and the Noahide laws governing all of the Goyim, right? That's their agenda. They've openly said it. They clearly say it. It's their prophecy. So again, when you look at this new NATO, I think there's two factors. One, obviously, the Israel factor that we've covered pretty well. But the other one is that all of the things that are happening right now, because they've made us, again, depend on oil, right? We depend on oil for almost everything, right? For not just our gas, but, you know, for manufacturing, for a lot of our goods, plastics, all these things, you know, The American people don't really realize this, but our farming's been slowly but surely and systematically shut down. We rely on the world for a lot of our food, for our fertilizer, and for our goods. There's no manufacturing in the U.S. So as the world gets continue to have oil shortages, gas shortages, and the supply chain and the trade routes continue to get messed up by what's happening with in the Strait of Hormuz, that creates not just issue for us to get goods here in the U.S., but also the GDP of other countries gets severely affected. They start to get hungry and starve and go without. So the whole world is being hurt by what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz right now. It's not just hurting Iran, right? And so you have the world kind of positioning against us now and preparing for a future without America as a superpower. Because if we continue to be this prophetic, you know, gangster for Israel and not take into account, you know, our allies, you know, their GDP, their citizens' health and welfare, and we continue to marginalize and position the whole world by what we're doing in Iran with no clear outcome and no quote unquote way to win, they're going to turn against us. And so, you know, we've already talked on your show about the whole BRICS dynamic versus the Abraham's Accord. But I think we're starting to see even smaller alliances be created, obviously with what Turkey just did with Saudi Arabia. But now you have Iran in serious talks with Russia and China. You know, and if Russia, China, Iran enter into a military and strategic alliance together, you know, it's not just, you know, Israel that's in trouble. It's America that's in trouble because we just lost all leverage that right. We could possibly have. So, man, you know, I think the world is, you know, a lot of people obviously are very distracted from this right now and think this is just about Iran killing the protesters and everything else. But we are losing our position as a global superpower in right. this. And so just as much as Israel's backed into a corner right now and is going to have to bite because they started this for a prophetic agenda. Well, America, look what we've done to our own country, our economy, our national debt, and just the trust of our allies, you know, since Trump has been in office and been Israel's little bitch, you know. So we're in a tough spot, man, a very tough spot.
It's a situation where America sees itself like we still see ourselves as that hegemon, as that kind of like that big guy on the prison yard. But you can't, it's hard to fight one person, much less two people, three people. It's over. Like you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening to our empire. You look at the Bretton Woods agreement, you look at the petrodollar, you look at how we use our currency. Ultimately, if you have these nations that are just taking a look around the world and saying, hey, we don't think this is going to be the arrangement for the next 100 years. I think it's going to end in the next really under 30, 20. Trump's really dramatically speeding that up. You are going to make deals with Russia. You are going to make deals with China. And I think specifically for that new kind of like Middle East NATO that we're talking about for Turkey, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan, I think Saudi Arabia is really worried about the Greater Israel Project. I know MBS is a little cuckold of Netanyahu, but still, I still think he's concerned. And I think what you're going to see is Erdogan, who knows, because they say it all the time, both the Likud people and the, I forget the guy's name, the opposition leader guy, they say Turkey is the next enemy. Turkey is the next threat. And you can just look on a map of Greater Israel. You have Jordan. You have Lebanon. You have parts of Syria. You have Iraq. You have, what else am I leaving away here? Like there's so much.
North of Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
You have Egypt from the Nile to the east. You know, so they're obviously already starting in Lebanon right now, slowly but surely, systematically moving north through Lebanon. They've already pretty much leveraged Jordan because Jordan completely relies on U.S. tax dollars to survive. You know, they don't have a lot of oil or, you know, big exports. So Jordan's completely dependent. They've got the king, you know, by the throat there. Right. So, you know, really right now, the Saudi Arabia dynamic isn't a big worry for land because obviously a lot of that land in the north of Saudi Arabia, there's really nothing there. Right? So Saudi Arabia doesn't really care about that. It's just desert. But Saudi Arabia has a lot of money. They have a lot of oil. And, you know, they are going to be a necessary ally or a leveraged ally for Israel to get Greater Israel. So, again, I believe they're just setting the stage. And I also believe that Israel wants to, based on their prophecy, to be almost destroyed. They want to have the world turn right. against them. They want to be the bad guy because they believe that this attack on them, the world coming in and destroying most of Israel, is how their Messiah,
hold on,
you know, comes into power.
Hold on. The war itself is a ritual. I think this is a very key point to explain. The, yes. the entire war is ritual. Go into that. Explain that because you've done the studying. And, of course, you're a veteran. You're very familiar with all this. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's prophetic. So the Gog-Magog War has multiple different interpretations. But in Zionism, they believe that Gog-Magog is the Christians and the Muslims. And they believe that they have to bring the Christians and Muslims to warfare. So again, you know, there's multiple reasons, multiple levels to every action that happens. So again, from ISIS creating the chaos, destabilizing most of the Middle East, North Africa, now moving south to Africa now, and all the other affiliated terrorist groups, they created all these refugees. So, you know, there was two parts that Israel, quote unquote, won here. One, they got to send tens of millions of Muslims, you know, to Europe and to America to create this dynamic, this Muslim versus Christian war.
Right.
And they're going to, you know, feed that, false flag it. You know what they do. They put Mossad agents as the leader of terrorist cells and they recruit people. And, you know, they do all the things they've always done, the same things the CIA has always done. But, you know, they also were able to get all these people out of their backyard because they're, you know, tens of millions of Muslims now are in Europe and America, and they're not in the Middle East. So they just made it easier, you know, for them to be able to take these countries. But again, the writing's on the wall that they're going to do this. So what I find interesting is seeing these strategic military alliances that are happening right now, and God knows what's coming next. But I think that if you would go back to before Trump was elected, you know, Israel could almost do no wrong for a conservative America, right? And, you know, I mean, you know, that Judeo-Christian values, I hate even saying that out loud because it's such a crock, but the Judeo-Christian values, especially all the goy slop and Kool-Aid that's been poured into these Protestant churches over the past, you know, 60, 70 years, you know, America was ready, I think, before Trump got into office to support Israel no matter what. But now that Trump's got an office and he hasn't done anything that he said he was going to do, from, you know, no more wars to releasing the Epstein files and everything else, routing the deep state, you know, now you have the conservative party split. And this is, to me, is a very dangerous thing, right? We all know politics are fake and gay, right? The AIPAC owns both sides of the aisle. You know, the left creates the chaos and the dissent and pushes the radical policies against normal morality and values. And, you know, the highway to hell is paved with good intentions, right? And they do evil things to have the best of intentions. So you've always had the left doing that. But now you have the right, who has been who's going to be used to come in there and save the day and create policies that take your rights, your liberty, your ability to pursue happiness, your constitutional rights away, you know, in the guise of for the greater good, for your safety, you know, so that we can, you know, defeat this evil or this cancer. So, you know, they've always been able to play that game. But I think we're walking into probably one of the worst situations we could possibly be in now, because we're headed into midterms. So, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of, you know, radical leftist people who get elected, not just in Congress and Senate, but we're talking governors and, you know, state assemblies and everything else. So you're going to have, again, that radical left, you know, woke virus and everything that comes with it, you know, being pushed back on America, while simultaneously you're going to have conservative America take a big licking and whooping because they put all their eggs into one basket and put Israel above the United States, right? So while I believe even in the fake and gay show of left versus right, I'm always going to lean more conservative because I believe, at least with morals and values, they're going to mess with things less, right?
Right. But I think the upheaval, I want to come in here, I think the upheaval is a big deal, right? Because on the left, their radicalism is cemented. They have their protocol, their plan. They know what they're going to do, and they want to execute on it. If we're able to break with this demonic possessive spirit of Israel and get this out of our politics, I think you would have people, like you're talking about, that have those values that would emerge. It's just like you say, it's all fake and gay. It literally is completely fake and completely gay. And the current political class, not just here around the world, look at Sisi in Egypt is a good example. Look at the guy that runs Jordan as well. All these people, it's just, oh, the Ponzi scheme hasn't ended yet. The game of musical chairs hasn't ended yet. I think eventually when you get that collapse that you've predicted, I've predicted, all the people on this network predict, basically, Michael Yon, Matt Bracken, you name it, I think you're going to get some accountability. What does that look like? When things melt down.
Well, you know, unfortunately, again, they want the system to collapse, right? That's how they bring, you know, order through chaos. That's their motto, right? And so that's the part that scares me, right? Like, yes, the optimist in me, the having hope that, you know, everything that I fought for and sacrificed my youth for was worth it, you know, that this country can continue. I mean, yes, that's the hope, right? That's the hope. But on the other end, they want the system to collapse. And it might be, you know, all rainbows and butterflies, you know, in the beginning. Oh, we've got CBDC, but this is the quick solution. And instead of all of us, you know, losing all of our savings and all of our assets and going into extreme poverty, well, here CBDC comes in to save the day. And maybe the first year it's great. You know, maybe the first year you can, you know, it's just like, you know, Apple Pay. But again, now you've allowed a system that can be completely controlled to be established. And the problem is that once you give the government something, you can never take it back. Once you allow the government to do something, you can never take it back. So if they collapse the system and bring in CBDC, well, I mean, we've already seen it in China, the social credit scores. Hey, you know, you post the wrong thing on Instagram, it's not going to be my account deleted anymore. It's going to be my banking account being frozen, or I'm only allowed to buy like essential goods, and you know,
and they will say the reason for the collapse is our Constitution. They'll say it was your Constitution, it was the Bill of Rights. We need the new system. That's the whole play. That's what I believe. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's why they're pushing the no hide law so much, right? You know,
explain what those are.
So the no hide laws are Old Testament laws that are, you know, established for the early followers of the God of Abraham, right? And it centers around this one crux that is going to be extremely manipulated. So the Noahide laws say you can only worship one God, right? One God. No other gods, just one God. Now, it doesn't say what God. It just says one God, right? Now, the lie that the Zionists tell and what they use is they hide behind Judaism. And, you know, Jews believe in the God of Abraham. Obviously, they didn't accept Jesus. But there's a whole sect of Jews that worship Baal, Moloch, Saturn, that do, you know, idolatry,
in the Bible,
paganism.
In the Bible. It's literally in the Bible. King Solomon did it. Do not give your children to the fires of Moloch, the Star of Rimfran, all this stuff. Keep going.
Yeah, well, the Star of Rimfran is the Star of David. David never had a star. Right. That's the thing. They put the Star of Rimfan on the Israeli flag. And you're like, that is the Star of Satan. Right. And so, you know, they're very blatantly obvious about what they do. Right. They hide behind Judaism, but it's so obvious people think it's a conspiracy. So anyways, so, you know, they've got all of this, you know, evil just basically hidden, right? It's right in front of our faces. But when you start to look at the agendas, right? And in the second and third order of this, with the Noahide laws, what God is going to be that one God? Well, I think we know the answer to that. It's going to be Baal, Moloch, some probably hybrid of that. Maybe they'll even gaslight us and say the God of Abraham. But did you know, according to the Noahide laws, it's illegal to worship Jesus? Because Jesus is not the Son of God to them. So to a Noahidean, and that's now a growing religious group separate from Judaism, even though they're the Jewish, they're basically like the goy Jewish puppets. You know, they're pushing this now. So, you know, Ben-Gurion said that the Abraham's Accords and an international Noahide court would rule the world, right? Well, they're having the first international, you know, Noahide convention now. So essentially, like the Noahide laws on the surface, they look all well and good, you know, like it's pretty basic, almost Ten Commandment-esque, right? But they get to dictate who the God is, right? They get to dictate, you know, who is above that law and who isn't. Now, Noahide laws, again, they only go for Goyim. They're only for Goyim, every non-Jew. Jews are not subject to Noahide laws. That's the other interesting part about this. Jews have an out on everything, right? The Jews have an out on the entire thing, or excuse me, Zionists, because a lot of Jews don't agree with this stuff, right? The Zionist Jews. And so the Goyim are the ones that are going to be susceptible to the Noahide laws. But
if you publicly worship, they chop off your head.
Yeah, they can kill you. They can do whatever they want to you. Well, I mean, it's in their Talmud. I mean, you basically, if you're a Goyim, you're a slave.
You don't have a soul.
It says you don't have a soul. You're like cattle, right? So they can kill you. They can rape you. You know, they can, you know, the Talmud says they can sleep with a girl a day older than three. Because that's the perfect cut of the, place to start. But they also say, you know, the girl, so you know if she's younger than three, if it would hurt her or harm her, right? You know, so, I mean, it's the level of sickness that the Talmudic Judaism goes to. I mean, you can sleep with a boy up until he's nine because he's not a man yet. You know, it's not no harm, no foul. But because you know the boy, if you want to continue to sleep with a boy after nine, well, that's on you, because you know when he's going to become a man, right? Wow. You know, it is, if you dig into the Talmud, it will blow your mind, the things that are allowed for the Jews to do to Goyim, and that also too, that they basically openly say they're the most racist, you know, self-serving superior people that have ever existed, and they call us anti-Semitic for pointing it out.
Right. I think that's such a great point to make, is it's the most discriminatory thing to literally have a racial slur for everybody that isn't you. Like, it's pretty wild, right? And like Epstein was known to use it. It's in the files, in the emails. This is what they think. This is what they believe. This is the power structure. And ultimately, it's like putting two things together in a box and shaking it and having them fight, the Christian and Muslims. You know, ultimately, we lived in different places, and they're bringing together to cause that clash of civilizations. As we got like 90 seconds left, take us out with that.
Yeah, but that's what they want. You know, so if you look at the creation of Islam, now I'm not trying to offend any Muslims here, or, you know, talk crap about, you know, Islam or get Muhammad jihaded on, you know, but Islam was created by Jews. You know, so if you go back to the creation of Islam and who actually wrote the Quran, it wasn't Muhammad. Muhammad was illiterate. He couldn't read or write. You know, so his Jewish brother-in-law and his sect of Jews were instrumental in creating the Quran. You know, so a lot of rabbis say, and, you know, some of the, especially the Israeli, you know, Zionist rabbis, they say that they created Islam to be the broom to sweep Christianity away. You know, so when you look at this, I firmly believe, just based on my faith, my studies, you know, I've lived all over the Middle East, studied, you know, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, and I had to be an expert on a lot of it and understand it, because everybody's doing things for prophecy and religious reasons over there. Well, when you look at Islam and its foundations, and then just Mecca and the Black Cube and all these other things that are established.
Saturn worship, that's what it is. They pray to Saturn. Absolutely. Matt Murphy, where do they find you? Really quick, where do they find you?
Yeah, so Matt Murphy official on Instagram, and then Matt_Murphy_23 on X. Oh, it's Matt.Murphy.official on Instagram. I got my count nuked, so I'm rebuilding, brother.
Badass. See ya.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
News, analysis, reports. It's the Alex Jones Show. Sweet dreams
are made of. Well, that was a very heavy interview with Matt Murphy. Highly recommend you follow him on Twitter, Green Beret, intelligence expert, really expert in everything that's going on in the Middle East right now. And, you know, it's what we've been predicting for a while. We're not going to be able to extricate ourselves because we're not in charge. This is all part of a biblical prophecy. The war itself is a self-fulfilling prophecy for them to bring their own Messiah back. We have the radical, like, Judeo-Christian evangelical Zionists in our own country who believe in their own interpretation of that tale that they've been co-opted and controlled with, kind of like how Matt Murphy was getting into Islam being co-opted and controlled with. It's a 1,000-year, almost 2,000-year-long program. They've been trying to defeat the West, been trying to defeat Christianity, and it's very important that people know what you know, so please do repost and share this live transmission. But I want to get into even more insane news, okay, because everybody, it's big now, satanic panic, Epstein, you know, not taking people to the island to eat kids or to have relations with kids. Oh, no, he's just an influence broker. He's just an intelligence asset. Keep in mind, Ghislaine Maxwell is serving 20 years in prison right now for trafficking minors with and to Jeffrey Epstein. So there's your silver bullet to anybody that tells you the Epstein stuff isn't real or that it's a whatever. Why is she in jail? Why'd she get moved to Club Fed after, you know, after complaining and crying about it? And she probably threatened the U.S. government. That's the real reality. But look at this. Unseen photo reveals time Bill Clinton demanded Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell join him at King's wedding. Totally crazy. The Moroccan king. Okay. Former President Bill Clinton.
You know, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Let me tell you something about old Epstein. Epstein was my guy. He's my friend. We did a lot of fun things together. But now he died. And now I might be in a little trouble.
Former President Bill Clinton shocked his own aides ahead of Moroccan King Mohammed V's 2012 wedding by demanding to bring two unrelated plus ones, the now notorious Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, to the royal nuptials. Clinton, who had earned goodwill in North African nation by attending the funeral of the king's father, who was president 3 years earlier, beamed with Epstein, Maxwell, and his daughter Chelsea in a group photo shared exclusively with the Post for this story. Clinton brought them as guests to a king's wedding. I mean, it almost sounds made up, and yeah, it almost does sound made up, but it's true. Said a source familiar with the matter, how many times in your life have you been invited as a guest of a guest at a wedding? That's another good point. So Bill Clinton is invited by the Moroccan king. He takes Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell as his plus one and plus two. Nothing to see here. Nothing wrong with that. You know, it's just the president who flew on his plane and went to the island and loved him, and he was his buddy, and his buddy... Well, his buddy had a shoddy, and shoddy got convicted of sex trafficking children with and to Jeffrey Epstein, serving 20 years in jail. But there's nothing you need to worry about. It's all redacted. Don't worry. It's redacted to protect the victims because, of course, the victims are the perpetrators that did the crime. And everyone's Epstein apologetics argument lies on them saying, but you don't have evidence, but you don't have evidence. They don't acknowledge coded language. They don't acknowledge incidents like this where you see clear power broker influence peddling. He didn't end up there randomly. This is a world player. This is a powerful man, Jeffrey Epstein. He's so powerful, he gets taken to a wedding as a plus one to go see the king. And then people deny his geopolitical influence. I find it to be quite disturbing. The account is surfacing as Clinton downplays his ties to Epstein and as the Justice Department faces a congressionally mandated Friday deadline to release files on the financier's crimes, which were not publicly known at the time of the Moroccan king's wedding. Well, hold on. When was the Moroccan king's wedding? Let's be real sure about this. When was the wedding itself? 2002. Okay, so this was before he was convicted of being a pedophile himself. A second source said the 42nd president's staff insisted and pushed to bring Maxwell. Keep in mind, her father, Robert Maxwell, wrote all the textbooks you read at school, buried with the highest honors at the Mount of Olives in Israel for his service to the country as an intelligence asset. But no. Don't worry about it. It's a satanic panic. Currently serving a 20-year prison sentence for sex trafficking conspiracy, that's sex trafficking minors with and for and to Jeffrey Epstein and other offenses, and Epstein, who died in jail in August 2019 while awaiting his own trial on federal sex trafficking charges. So he dies in the middle of his own trial, so they can't prove anything there. They redact it all. They hide it all because you don't need to present it in court. And then Ghislaine is serving 20 years in jail for trafficking children with and to Jeffrey Epstein. And, you know, they're just going to the Moroccan king's wedding. You know, she got every rich, famous, powerful person in the world on their island, in their plane. But there's nothing going on that's not above board. I mean, seriously, how do you believe that? How do you believe that? I know it's fun for people to get high off their own farts and to imagine themselves like the intellectual powerhouse that can defend the worst positions possible. This guy is a billionaire pedophile who ran our government in large part and manipulated multiple presidents. Literally. Not just of this country, too, prime ministers. I raise you Ehud Barak. I raise you so much more. But I just wanted to point that out because it bears repeating. Just look at these photos. Overhead shot.
You know, Epstein, I never thought that we'd get caught for eating babies and doing all the satanic crimes we did. You know, I had a good time with you and Hillary eating babies on the island.
Well, they can't prove anything because I'm dead. I've been, murdered by somebody. Or maybe I'm not dead. Maybe I'm still.
I think he's dead. I think Epstein is gone. I'll keep reading. The idea, and this is from a source, the idea that they would take Epstein was a head scratcher, but nonetheless, the Clinton office moved forward and made this request to bring these two guests, and that's what happened. What kind of person would impose and bring somebody to a wedding? The second source asked rhetorically. In my own family, unless you're married or engaged, you're not bringing a guest, and that's very typical. So with all that being said, we know who really runs our country. We know who really runs the world. I want to show this video because I wanted to play it a while ago and it made me really sad. And here's the thing. When I play this video, the guy, the boomer, the angry boomer in the video, he's a Vietnam veteran. He was lied to by his country. He was sent off to fight a meaningless war. I can speak on this. I had a great uncle who I was very close to, loved very much, Biff Hammond, exposed to Agent Orange in Vietnam, lived to be, you know, early mid-60s, and then had massive pneumonia problems from that and died. I watched his limbs turn black in the hospital. Okay? So this guy has been made proud of his slavery, proud of his service to U.S. empire in a meaningless war that we didn't need to fight, that we lost so many people in and so much position and power throughout the world. He's going to slap somebody, you know, just a nephew, a little, not a little kid, but a 20-year-old, whatever. He's going to slap him because he won't stand for the national anthem. Go ahead and play the video. That's clip number 13. I would have punched him in the face. I would have smashed him and broke his nose. I know you're tough. I know you fought in Vietnam, but you're old and you don't get to hit people for their First Amendment. And just like people can say whatever they want, they have the right to not say whatever they want. You can't compel speech. I would have broken that boomer's nose. And everyone's look at the cucks. Throw it up. Look at the cuckolds. Look at these people just standing around. Look at these chunguses in the glasses. Look at this. You're going to let an old man smack him in the head? You're going to smile and say, yeah, he deserved it. Stand for America. Well, you know what? When did America stand for you, boomer? What about all your friends that died in Vietnam for no reason? I guess he's so proud of that war and so proud of surviving, he's going to hit you and make you support his empire. I don't think so, boomer. Not today. Let's go ahead and play clip number 40 of Netanyahu.
If it's come to this, I have to wear glasses nowadays. But the weapons depletion rate, this is all publicly available. I do not deal in classified information. I am a public person. I don't deal in stolen information because that is something that's been lobbed at me in recent weeks. So missile interceptors, about 50% of the inventory of Patriot ballistic missile interceptors and 50, likely closer to 80% of terminal high altitude area defense interceptors were expended in the course of the war. Over 1,000, that's about a third of our entire stockpile of Tomahawk cruise missiles has been expended. Large quantities of the JASSM missiles, as well as pretty much the entire pre-war inventory of new precision strike missiles, the PrSMs that were used. Also, interestingly enough, because we were told there was never any threat to our Navy, this is why, of course, they never really dared to go through the Strait of Hormuz, the Navy reports that they expended large quantities of their SM-3 and SM-6 naval interceptors, which indicates to me, if I may conjecture here,
okay, I'm going to come in here. I'm going to come in here. You're going to stand for the national anthem when your own country betrays your own defense, when your own country takes you to war, when your own country asks you to die for another country? I mean, listen to the facts he just laid out for you there. The reality on the ground is the war is unwinnable. And it's not patriotic to support America bankrupting itself, destroying itself, but it is patriotic for another country. Let's go ahead and play Netanyahu, clip number
47.
All right, go back to me. He is basically announcing how pleased he is and how excited he is for the coming conflict. I want to go ahead and play clip number. I just had it and I lost it a little bit. I'm going to find it again really quick here. Let's go ahead and play clip number 41. Clip number 41. Okay, that's the wrong clip. Not a problem there at all. Let's go ahead and play clip number 26, which is Donald Trump announcing his approval rating should be 150%.
But our country right now is doing better than it's ever done. You know, when I see polls on the economy, I should have 150%, not 100%.
Well, yeah.
Because we have the greatest, this is the golden age of America. What's being built now in this country has never, ever been built.
Yeah, the data centers, the military-industrial complex empire. This is, I'm going to coin a new term here, and I stole this from somebody else online, but I'll use the platform to do it. This is egomentia. This is what it is. It's egomentia. It's the same idea. Oh, I can run for a third term, even though my ankles are swollen and I don't remember where I'm at. That's basically what he's saying there. He's saying my approval rating should be 150% because I've bankrupted the American people. I've taken them to an illegal war. I've merged our military with Israel. They'll never buy a house. They'll never have a job. They'll never even own land. The data center will own the land. But my approval rating, you know, it should be 150%. I don't think anybody believes that. I don't think anyone believes that even the vast majority of Republicans support this war and by nature support the president. I think that's starting to drop off and fall off really, really quickly. And I think that's a positive for the country, but I think it's also a negative in the means that not enough people yet have adopted that position. There's still enough support. There's still enough backing for what he's doing right now. You know, Trump has a pathological need to be liked. And when you have somebody that has a pathological need to be liked and you have them in an echo chamber that you control, Trump is essentially in a fishbowl and he has no way out of that fishbowl. And everybody that wanted to get him out of that fishbowl, Tucker, my father, Alex Jones, Charlie Kirk, RIP, all these people get forced out, demonized, deplatformed or killed. Like this is a very dangerous job. It's not fun stuff to say. I don't want to be in here talking about this stuff. I have to because it's the truth, it's the reality, and it's happening right now. And those that deny reality that you see in your articles, you see on your TV, that you see on the social media, the people that tell you, like a Gunther Eagleman or a Eric Doherty, that everything is fine, it's amazing, it's the golden age. No, it's not the golden age. It's the golden shower, and everyone is fully aware of that. You know, I was outside yesterday, and, you know, not far from here, and it was beautiful. It was sunny. There's a few clouds and it just starts raining, man. It just starts raining super hard. And it's not like a usual summer storm. I'd have a little bit of blue sky poking out, but there's a lot of clouds. We're talking, you know, 70% of the sky is blue. You got a few clouds, but really they're like white and even light gray, but it's a torrential rain. It's pouring in the South. In Texas, we call that the devil is beating his wife. That's the colloquial term for it. Right? That's the idiom or whatever it's called. The devil is beating his wife. I'd like to coin a new term. I would like to coin a new term for what's going on. Instead of the devil beating his wife every time it rains and it's sunny outside, Netanyahu is raping Trump. Because when I saw the news that Israel announced that they were going to strike unilaterally, that they didn't need us, and I saw the news that Trump privately has admitted that we've lost the war, that he will admit that the nuclear program is off the table if they'll just let us have the Strait of Hormuz open. He's ready to make a deal, but Netanyahu's going to go back in and strike, and we're really going to have World War III. Just as I see that news on my phone, it starts raining. So the next time you're outside or in your car or at your house, whatever, and you see it's beautiful outside, it's sunny, but it's raining, Trump is probably being raped by Netanyahu at that very moment. So isn't that beautiful? You know, we have this beautiful moment where our president is bent over a table, bent over a barrel, being ritualistically molested by the president or prime minister, leader of a foreign country, and Americans are told by the mass media, Americans are told by their social media influencers, Americans are told by their journalists that not only is he not being raped, that he likes it, that he enjoys it, and that you like it too by proxy, it's good for you. And I think as a nation, I think we're all just a little sick and tired of being humiliated. I think we're just a little sick and tired of the technology. I think we're a little bit sick and tired of the wars. I think we're a little bit sick and tired of the genocide we pay for. And I think that we want it all to stop. The question is, does Trump have the agency to do anything about it? Because it would be a very simple matter, actually, to extricate ourselves and get out of the region. Joe Kent has talked about this ad nauseum. All you have to do is declare victory and go home. This really isn't a hard concept. It's pretty easy and simple to understand. We take our soldiers, we leave our bases, we get out. The bases are destroyed. The radar is destroyed. The missiles are spent. We're having to pull defense missile interceptors from nations like Japan and South Korea. Does that sound like something that's sustainable to you? Does that sound like our other allies, our other friends around the world, our other partners are going to want to be partners with us much longer? If we say, all right, we have a treaty with you, we have an agreement with you, arms thing with you, whatever, but that all becomes null and void the moment Netanyahu inserts himself into Trump. Like that's what people around the world are thinking about. That's what the South Koreans are thinking about. That's what the Saudi Arabians are thinking about. It's what the Turkish people are thinking about. It's what everybody's thinking about right now. And Americans can't make the calculation because they cannot admit that the president has been raped. I repeat, the president has been raped by Netanyahu. The president was forced to go into an illegal war. The president was forced to bomb an elementary school. The president was forced to kill the Pope on the orders of Netanyahu. And, you know, the definition of that word I keep using, rape, is forced penetration. It's a forced penetration, not sexually, although maybe also as well. It's a forced penetration of our government, of our society, of you. Ultimately, it's your tax dollars they penetrate. They go into your bank account, they take it, and they send it to Netanyahu. They go into your bank account, they take it, and they use that money to buy missiles to kill little kids. You like that? You a fan of that at home? Do you enjoy that? You think, yeah, I'm a winner. Hell yeah. I'm a winner. I'm a part of America. We're the strong country. It's like Tim Pool said about ICE. It's my boot stomping on the ground, which is just such a faggy thing to say. Like, seriously, it's just the fantasizing about the other strong men that can do the strong things. We're going to kill the Muzzies. The guy called in on the American Journal. What he said is, my buddy Trump is in a fight. I'm in a fight too. We're going to go kill the Muzzies. Like, that's something to be proud of. Well, every time you kill them, you make 10 terrorists and then you make 100 people as refugees move over here. So maybe that's not so smart. Maybe you shouldn't be proud of that. Maybe you should realize that forced penetration to take your money and use it to kill those people, that's rape. R-A-P. Pull up the definition. Definition right now of rape. This is what's going on to our entire country. I need to be very, very clear on this right now so that you all understand what's going on. This is not a negotiation tactic. This is not us being diplomatic and working with the Israelis, working with our partners, figuring things out. We are told what to do. We are told what weapons to make. We are told what places to bomb. We are told what people to kill, and we execute it because we have been raped. Can we pull up the definition, please, of that word? I want to be very, very clear about what's going on in our country right now. Carried out against another person without their consent. All right. So it's using the term sexual here. We can just sub in assault, right? We're under assault. We're under attack. They're merging with us. They're having intercourse with our country. They're penetrating all aspects, and it's carried out against us without our consent. And that's really where we are. That's what this entire project is. That's what the entire game is to make you asleep, to make you forget so that you don't care. They're trying to roofie your ass. They are trying to roofie your ass right now, and they've already done it to the vast majority of people. That's why they can go on TV and say they're going to burn all of Lebanon. That's why they can go on TV and say one Jewish life is worth 10 million Palestinian lives. These are all quotes. Sue me if it's not true. Seriously, this is why Ben-Gvir can go on TV and smack people in the head that are part of a flotilla, bringing like beans and rice and water and food to the starving Palestinians. This is why Ben Shapiro can brag about giving the Palestinians 3 million calories. This is why they can give them a 200-calorie a meal box with food in there that can only be prepared for water with water in the middle of the desert where they have none. I interviewed Anthony Aguilar, Lieutenant Colonel Green Beret. He worked for the GHF, a Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, and he was told that their client was not the Gazan people, not the UN, it was the IDF. And he saw things there that you saw them or you thought about it make you vomit. He saw a woman carrying her dead children on a pallet with a rope, going to get food. You know why she didn't bury her children, bury her kids? She digs a hole, she's getting blown up because anybody they want to kill, they kill. Any reason, any excuse, any method, no method is too extreme. They did the pager attack, blowing up little kids' faces and arms. They don't care, indiscriminate, kill Hezbollah, so incredible, whatever. They give our president a golden pager. In the White House, to give him a golden pager. And you know what it says? Press on both sides to activate. So when Netanyahu has raped us to a degree where he's literally like inserting bombs into the White House and laughing about it as if it's a big joke, like you got to realize where you're at. And that's why we do this. That's why I do the show. This is the truth. This is reality. This is what's happening right now. And anyone who wants to sell you a more moderate version of events, or, oh, we can work it out, our teams, our political community, the Republican Party, Democrat Party, we're going to figure it out. Dude, you're not prepared for 2030. No one's prepared for 2030, what's coming. The young people, the average people in this country that have not voted, that did not care to vote, that did not care for the election, or that voted for Trump or whatever. You see that bomb right there? The real bomb that's going to detonate is the patriot awakening that comes with the crash. I truly do believe this. Our American spirit is so strong, even though our system is weak and decrepit. A lot of people will die. A lot of people will get hurt. But the reality at the end of the day will be a stronger country, a stronger society. We must loose ourselves from the bonds, from the chains of this fiat currency, of this endless system where we project power into the Middle East, into the Middle East, into the Middle East, thousands of miles away. It doesn't benefit us a damn thing. And if Israel wasn't in charge of our foreign policy, and if we were able to actually negotiate with these other countries instead of bombing them and killing them and assassinating them and doing regime change, I think we would live in paradise. I actually don't think any of this stuff is that complicated. We simply have to stop funding their activities, stop giving them weapons, take our troops and go home. They can't do it on their own. All of this, the entire thing about Netanyahu about to be ready to attack. I'll read it again. Israel is preparing for a unilateral strike on Iran. As it concludes, the U.S. is no longer willing to finish the war on its terms. We're coming back to the war. We're on the way back to the war, guys. What this means is Netanyahu's taking the belt off. He's unzipping his pants, all right? You know, what Trump is, he's not bent over yet, but he's about to be bent over a barrel because we don't have a choice. We don't have agency. I quote you, Marco Rubio, again. Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation, so we had to join in. Paraphrasing last part, it was going to be 24, 48 hours. This is what they all said. Do you remember when they told you that? Do you remember when they told you it would be 24 to 48 hours? Do you remember when they told you 1973 War Powers Act? Oh, shut up. Trump can do whatever he wants. It's under 60 days. I think we're almost at 200 now. When it's 400 days, 600 days, 800 days, when it's under a new administration, it's still happening, and they had the excuse to continue it because of Trump. Well, what are all you going to say then? Was it a war when we killed the Ayatollah? Was it a war when we blew up the school? Was it a war when we did Midnight Hammer and dropped the bunker buster bombs on Isfahan, Natanz, and Fordow? Was that an act of war? I think history is going to bear out in a way that our current, you know, digital online versions of textbooks do not. I think America is really going to regret, already does regret, getting itself involved in it. But like I said, again, we've been raped. We don't really have a choice. It's a forced penetration to take your tax dollars, take our weapons, take our men and women over there to die in fire. It's a Holocaust on America. It's a death by fire of the country. The country is burning down actively as we speak right now. We war against this. This is why we must always be prepared. Have storable food. Have clean water. Have a source of energy. Have a bunch of guns. And even more importantly, doesn't matter how many guns you have a few. Have a ton of ammunition. Acquire these things. Know your neighbors. Live in a more rural community. Get prepared for the crash that is coming. And this is why more people need to know the information that you know. Please share today's show. If there's one thing we can ask you to do, share today's show. And if there's another thing we can ask you to do, go to thealexjonesstore.com. We got the top rated products, Methyl Drive Power Plant. Go to the website, look them up, look at what they do for you and your body. It's so incredible. It's amazing. Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. I'll be live. Gray Area Talks. I forgot. I'm about to be live 7:30, 10:30 on my profile. Gray Area Talks. I'll see you guys on the other side.
Earth, filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
The Alex Jones Store.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from the AlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultra Methylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
River. Right at dawn. Agreed, partners. Let's head out. Right behind you.
The Alex Jones Show. Uncovering the truth from the American heartland.